Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service, Text 6. Savai Pum Samparo Dharmo.
Savai Pum Samparo Dharmo.
Yato Bhaktir Adhoksa Jay.
Yato Bhaktir Adhoksa Jay.
Ahoy Tiki Apriti Ata. Yayatma su prasidate.
Yayatma su prasidate.
Savai pum samparo dharmo.
Savai pum samparo dharmo.
Yato bhaktir adhoksa jay.
Yato bhaktir adhoksa jay.
Ahoy tiki apati ata.
Ahoy tiki apati ata.
Yayatma su prasidate. Savai pum samparo dharmo.
Savai pum samparo dharmo.
Ito bhaktir adhoksa jay.
Ito bhaktir adhoksa jay.
Ahoy tiki apriti ata.
Ahoy tiki apriti
ata. Yayatma su prasidati.
Yayatma su prasidati.
Savai pum samparo dharmo.
Savai pum samparo. Saha, that, by, certainly,
Pum
Sam, for mankind, Paraha,
sublime,
Dharmaha, occupation, Yataha, by which, Bhaktihi, devotional service, Adhoksujay,
unto the transcendence.
Ahoy tiki. causeless, apratiyata, unbroken, yaya,
by which,
atma,
the self,
supersedati,
completely satisfied.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The supreme occupation, Dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Purport. In this statement, Sri Suta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that the fallen people or the people in general might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called the pravritti marg, or the path of sense enjoyment, and the other path is called the nivritti marg, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence, or Brahma-Bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries. There's no happiness at all. There's just the futile attempt to get rid of the miseries, and temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable, and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, and all-cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation, or abnegation for ultimate good, is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality, i.e., without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of devotional service of the Lord without any tinge of unnecessary desire, creative action, and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in His service. We have purposely denoted Dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word Dharma is, quote, that which sustains one's existence, end quote. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relationship is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and is completely distinct from our experience in material existence. The relationship of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. Omi Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudev Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it's an honor and pleasure to be here in Alachua in the presence of so many devotees who have given me their mercy and association and guidance at all stages of my career in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness from around 1974 when I joined up to the present. It was mentioned during the announcement that today is Goshtashtami, and when Krishna was allowed to herd the cows, not just the calves. I mean, he'd reached that age, so Nanda Maharaj made that arrangement for him. So that's being observed today. Today is also the disappearance day of Dhananjaya Pandit, who was an associate of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He was in Krishna Lila, one of the 12 Gopalas, principal cowherd boys. He was a leader of kirtan parties and Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. It's also the disappearance day of Srinivas Acharya. His father, Chaitanya Das, and mother were present before he was born, present in Jagannath Puri, and Lord Chaitanya told them, "You will have a son. His name will be Srinivas, and he will distribute the bhakti shastras." So that happened in his life. You know, he went to Vrindavan and he received instruction from Jiva Goswami, who asked that Srinivas and Shamananda and who's the other one? Narottam, that they distribute, you know, the Bhakti Shastras and preach in Bengal and Orissa and places like that. It's also the disappearance day of Gadadhar Das, who represents the luster or deity of Srimati Radharani's body. So, of course, there's Gadadhar Pandit, who was Radharani herself. So they were prominent devotees in Lord Chaitanya's movement. Gadadhar Das was specifically the luster of Radharani's body. So this verse today is one of the more important ones in the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada often quoted it. And it's dealing with dharma. And Srila Prabhupada says, we have purposely denoted dharma as occupation. So, Jivara Swarupahoy Krishnara Nitya Das, it's stated in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that the eternal occupation of the jiva, the soul, is devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at the present moment, some jivas are not engaged in that constitutional activity. Krishna Bahirmukahana Bhogavanchakare Nikatashta Mayatari Japatiyatari. At the present moment, they have their face turned away from Krishna. And why is that Bhogavanchakare? Because they want to try to enjoy themselves separately from Krishna. So, Nikatashta Mayatari Japatiyatari. So when they turn from Krishna, and we don't have to consider when and where that was, just understand for now, some souls are facing away from Krishna. And Maya is there to greet them. And Japatiyatari, and it's a troublesome situation for them. The jiva has its svarupa, its eternal spiritual form in which it's meant to serve Krishna. Srila Prabhupada mentions that. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence. And Krishna is the center of attraction for all of them. So that eternal spiritual form can only be used for that purpose. So if the jiva is going to try to enjoy itself separately from Krishna, it can't do it in that swarupa, that eternal form. So therefore, another form, a material body, is necessary. Just like as human beings, we walk around on the land. If we want to live in the water, if we want to live beneath the surface of the water for more than a few seconds, we need, like a diving suit or a submarine or something like that, that will allow us to function in that alien element. So, if the soul is going to function in the world of matter, needs a body made of the material elements so it can function in the world of matter and try to enjoy itself separately from Krishna. Because in the spiritual world, the only thing that goes on is loving devotional service to Krishna. All the living entities there are cooperating with each other to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, if a soul has developed another mentality, a mentality of selfish enjoyment, the desire to control and exploit and dominate for its own sense gratification, that can't go on in that spiritual world. So there has to be some other world where that can go on, and that's the material world. And that's Krishna's mercy. Because you could say, well, Krishna could just allow, put you in a state of suspended animation forever. No, he doesn't want that. He wants all of his parts and parcels. Mamayavamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Krishna says all the jivas, all the souls, they are part and parcel of me, simultaneously one and different. So, Krishna provides this material world as a place where we can do two things. We have a choice. We can try to enjoy ourselves separately from Krishna. We can try to dominate, control, and exploit the resources of material nature individually and collectively in different groups, competing with each other for that purpose. And if we do that, then we remain in the cycle of samsara, birth and death. Janma mrityu jaravyadhi dukkha dosh anudarshanam. Intelligent person will see this. So, or we can use the opportunity to try to understand what our real nature is. We can qualify ourselves to enter that eternal spiritual abode of Krishna, enter Krishna's Nitya Lila, his eternal pastimes, as his loving servants. Now that opportunity is there. So that's the choice that the living entities in the material world face. So, in the material world, the soul is covered by a gross physical body and a body made of mind, intelligence, false ego. It also includes subtle senses. You know, we learned that in the account of the City of Nine Gates in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, you know, Halloween was celebrated a few days ago here. And I was in Gainesville for some meetings with the Gainesville Bhaktivedanta Institute of Higher Studies. And late at night after the meetings, I walked out in the streets a little bit and saw what was going on. And, you know, people were dressed in all kinds of weird, strange costumes. You know, for that one day, they're thinking. But as a devotee, I'm kind of thinking every day is like Halloween. In that sense, that we're all dressed up in these different costumes that don't represent our real identity. So, what Krishna gives us the opportunity to do, what he is asking us to do, as the Chaitya Guru, the Guru within the heart, the Guru manifested externally in the form of the initiating spiritual master, the instructing spiritual master, the Vartma Pradarshika Gurus, those who initially show us the way to Krishna consciousness, and in the form of the Vedic literature. He's giving us the opportunity to use these material forms in the practice of devotional service. And there are many activities of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, but they begin with hearing and chanting. So by engaging our mind, intelligence, and our bodies in the activities of devotional service, we can gradually come to understand we are not these bodies, and gradually wake up to our original spiritual identities. So that's why it's being said in this verse, Savai Pumsa Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adhoksaje. That is the supreme occupation, because it allows us to attain loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. But as long as we have these material bodies and our material mind and intelligence, there's always the chance, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, that in our practice of devotional service, we'll find it's either broken, it's not continuous, or it's motivated by some selfish desire for profit, adoration, distinction, and even grosser forms of sense gratification. And that means we have further progress to make. So that is the ultimate goal. And in former times, the whole worldwide civilization was set up based on this principle, so that, you know, the government leaders, the Rajarshis, like Maharaj Yudhisthira, Maharaj Parikshit, and others, the leading people in society, the education system, everything was arranged to encourage this. Of course, that's not the situation now. The Greek philosopher Plato, he also had this idea that society should be ruled by philosopher kings. That's the ideal form of government, according to Plato and other Greek, Roman philosophers. So in the Vedic teachings, that's also there. Yes, the Rajarshis. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Evam Parapara Paptam, Imam Rajarshiyo Vidu. I'm giving this knowledge through the Parampara system, he tells Arjuna. Through disciplic succession, I'm giving it. To who? To the Rajarshis. You know, so there was a disciplic succession of the Rajarshis. But then Krishna said, Sakalena Mata Yoganashta Parantapa. By the force of time, sometimes this system of bhakti yoga, it's lost in human society or among the Rajarshis, the leaders. And then things begin to deteriorate. You know, some of the Greek and Roman philosophers, Cicero, Plato, others, they talk about how the system of divine monarchy, which is the best system of government, degrades into tyranny, and then to oligarchy, and then into democracy. You know, there are those three forms of government: monarchy, aristocracy, and democracy. And they all have a good form. If you have a monarchy, if you have a properly trained monarch who is acting in the interest of the citizens and the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's like a father and treats the citizens as his children, his own children, and watches out for their safety and education and everything, then it's good. But if the monarch becomes selfishly motivated, then it degenerates into tyranny. And then people will think, well, no, we won't have this one person in charge. We will select the best people from our society, and we'll have those best people be the leaders. It's called aristocracy. And that can actually work if you really do have the best people, and they really do have the interest of the whole society, the welfare of the whole society in mind. That can actually be good. But the problem is that that group becomes selfish, and instead of acting for the benefit of all the members of society, they begin to take for themselves. And then what will happen is there'll be another group that will decide, okay, they're being selfish now, we'll overthrow them, and then another group will overthrow them. And you know, your aristocracy degrades into oligarchy and plutocracy and things like that. And then people decide, well, let's not have a single leader, let's not have a group, let's all decide together. Everybody's equal. It's democracy. And that can work if we all decide, well, we're all equal, we'll watch out for each other. Freedom, liberty, that's nice. We want to be free. We want there to be liberty and no exploitation, and we'll decide everything among ourselves. The tendency, however, is for that system to, for freedom and liberty to degrade into licentiousness, mob rule, and the effect of all these things is that it becomes impossible for people to understand the real Dharma, the real occupation. So sometimes Srila Prabhupada would say, democracy is all right, you just have to educate the people so they'll choose the right leaders. or sometimes you say aristocracy is all right if they're properly educated, or sometimes he would say monarchy is the best if the monarch is properly educated and understands these things. So this knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, was intended for the leaders of society. And Srila Prabhupada states that quite explicitly in his purports. So that's part of our mission, to communicate these truths to the leaders of human society. So Krishna told Arjuna, sa evaya maya tetya yoga prokta paratana bhaktosi me sakacheti rahasyam hiru uttamam. So he said, yes, this disciplic succession has been broken, but I'm going to reestablish it with you. Why? Because you're my friend and devotee, and therefore I'm going to communicate this transcendental mystery, rahasyam, he calls it. The most confidential knowledge. So, this most confidential knowledge, this, you could say, secret of existence, has been communicated to us by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. We're being initiated into this wisdom for our own benefit, each of us individually, you know, that we can become completely satisfied. Yayatma supersediti. We can become completely satisfied, each of us, in our relationship with Krishna, which Srila Prabhupada nicely called the the most said intimacy. I'm looking for the
most congenial form.
Yeah, the most congenial form of intimacy. And this is what really satisfies the soul. So, we're being given the opportunity to realize it individually, but it's Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, so it's also meant to be distributed, give the opportunity to others. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So what do we do now? Some questions, comments?
Adibol Prabhu, thank you for the nice, wonderful class. You're talking about this eternal, we have an eternal body. Is that eternal body obtained when the jiva goes to the spiritual world, or that eternal body is hidden within this body?
It's something that can be realized, you know, even in this world. course, generally we say go back home, back to Godhead, but there's the position of Jivan Mukta. You know, you can be liberated even in this world. You know, when one has fully dedicated one's mind, body, and words to the devotional service of the Lord without interruption and without motivation, one can come to an understanding of one's svarupa, even within this apparently material world. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadyukabunai Shravanadi Shude Chiti Karya Udai. So that prema, eternal love for Krishna, it's there in the heart, covered over at the present time, but by Shravanadi Shude Chiti, by purifying consciousness through hearing, chanting, and the other processes of devotional service, that can come out. Muktir hitvan yita rupam swarupena vivastati, stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Liberation means we become freed from all other identifications and situated in the Swarupa. So, something else.
Thank you very much for this wonderful class, Prabhu. I just wanted to ask, I don't know how important it is, but we hear sometimes there are groups in Vrindavan or in India, they propagate that in order to understand this Svarupa, their eternal constitutional form relating to Krishna, we have to have this pranali mantra that some of the gurus give, and presently they said if you have that one, you can really understand your position. Kind of curious. Like, besides the Maha Mantra, you're supposed to have another mantra to what they mean by that, what they...
You have to ask them. I don't think I've spoken to any of them, but everything is there in the Hare Krishna mantra, sufficient for understanding these things. Okay. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.